Hello again, everybody. It's been, oh boy, it's been about 3 months. Can't believe it's been 3 months. First and foremost, unless it was Remy or even myself, thank you. Thank you to everybody who's still listening and downloading certain episodes, both on YouTube and through Podbean or through Spotify or through wherever you are listening to our work. We appreciate that. Because it's been a while, I figure I could use this as an opportunity to kind of do some catch up, some welcome back, housekeeping, what the hell's been going on. So much like before, because the last episode I did was by myself. There was no Remy, as there is now. I've been trying to reach out to Remy, and we've been discussing, but again, he's just very, very busy, and I want to be fair to him because I mean it's been a long time since he has had something like this to drive him. It has been a long time since he has had something that has been this financially lucrative for him, so I don't want to take that away from him. And he's very apologetic last time I talked to him. I literally wanted to take him out for his birthday. His birthday was roughly, today's March 30th. His birthday was March 17th. It was essentially 2 weeks ago. So again, happy birthday, Rem. I wanted to just take him out just for lunch and just chat and see what's going on. What's going on in his world? What's going on just in general? And he was very apologetic. He's still helping his mom out. So he was running errands. It was his day off and he was running errands for his mom. So it just couldn't work out. So I was like, no, it's fine. I was like, I just wanted to take you out for lunch. I didn't want to actually record. And he was like, oh, okay. It's no big deal. I said, I hope not. But he said he still wants to do this. But in the meantime, until he just can get, we can get on a place where we can have a day dedicated to just ourselves. Because again, he works on the weekends. He said, hey, feel free to do solo. Don't feel like you have to wait for me. And if you want to have just other people on to talk to them, feel free to have them on. And I was like, well, okay, sure. And he said, when we do, we will. And he asked me to reach out to our good friend, Jason Cox, who's been on several episodes talking about his spiritual journeys with various substances. But also that he said, hey, I also asked you guys if you could help me move. So can you help me? And we were like, sure, we can help you move. Other than that, I think, let me go back to, I mean, the last three episodes that we did one which was just kind of random. Then we did the Festivus one, and then we did one that was just dedicated to, it was really me, just dedicated to about stepping outside of that comfort zone. I did that right before the end of 2023, heading into 2024. And essentially what I feel like is the star is aligned and whatever have you, if it's a higher power, a higher being, if it's just the auras or cosmic ways, they said, okay. And then I feel like they whispered, but you should have read the fine print. You should have read the fine print to what you asked for. And I went, okay, all right.
The Zennial Odyssey Podcast, where we discuss life from the point of view of people born in the late 1970s to the early to mid-1980s. We discuss growing up analog and navigating adulthood in a digital world. Please come join us as we look to uncover what it actually means to be a Zennial.
So what have we had going on so far this year, which is stuff I'm willing to talk about, but also stuff that has kept me away from here. I have had some stuff go on in my personal life that has taken me away from just this area. And probably the most important thing or the most significant thing that has happened was, and if you follow me on social media, I haven't talked about this one bit on social media. If you are friends with me in reality, in real life, very few people know this, but on February 16th, I was driving to work, and I was actually in a motor vehicle accident that totaled my car. And I figured I could come on here because that is the most significant thing that occurred during the last 3 months for me. So I figured I could come on here. I want to put a disclaimer out there that I'm not going to talk about the accident itself. It's still something that's ongoing, so you can read between those lines. But I'll talk about the immediate aftermath, and I'll talk about the care I received. I was fine, but I still went to a hospital to go get checked out. So I figured I'd come on here. That would be the focus of this episode, kind of really catching people up on where the hell have they been? Have they given up? Have they? No one's really reached out. Some people have and just been like, hey, are this guy's just taking a break? And we're like, yeah. No big deal. And some of them are podcasters themselves, and they're like, hey, if you're taking a break and you got nothing going on, you can come on my podcast, or I could come on your podcast. And I say, thank you. I appreciate that. So yeah, the morning of February 16th, I was driving on one of these terrible highways I've talked about on several episodes. And so an accident occurred. And in the immediate aftermath, I was on a highway that they're doing construction on, and there's no breakdown lanes. So when I got out of my car, I basically stepped out into an active lane of highway traffic, and some people were honking and some people were, luckily there was heavy traffic, so people were going slow. I checked on the people that were also involved in another motor vehicle. It was a father and his daughter and their friend, and they were from California, and they were actually on their way to go tour colleges. So my first reaction, because I do believe humor does at least help people feel a little more calmer, especially in a situation like that, was I said, well, welcome to Massachusetts, and I hope you don't think that it's always like this, and I hope I can at least take away some stereotypes that we're all assholes, at least from the standpoint of I was checking on them to make sure they were okay. The daughter was already on the phone with 911. She literally almost essentially handed me her phone because she was like, I have no idea what they're asking about. And so I had to, I just leaned in. I didn't take the phone from her, but I did lean in and kind of was like, yeah, we're here. This is where we are. Yeah, we're in this city. Would we like an ambulance? And I just said, well, you know, fight or flight and adrenaline is running for me and I can already feel pain. So yeah, I would like that. And so a couple officers came and the ambulance came at the same time, and they had me out of there really fast. That is probably the third time in my life I've been in an ambulance, and it's the first time I've been in an ambulance for myself. The other two times were career related. I was accompanying somebody who had to go to the emergency room. So they asked me, would I like to go to Hospital A or Hospital B? Now, Hospital A was probably geographically the closest hospital, but it was the hospital that would take me furthest away from where I lived. And I had already been on the phone with my wife just to let her know. She just said, okay, I'll not go to work that day. Just let me know what hospital they're taking you to. And I went, okay, that's fine. So they said Hospital B. And I said, Hospital B is closer to where I live, so I would much rather go to Hospital B. Hospital B was a hospital that was in the greater Brockton, Massachusetts area. And it is also a Steward hospital. Now, if you are not familiar with Steward Health, or if you are not familiar with the hospital systems of Massachusetts, even the EMTs were kind of giving me a look like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, all right. And so they took me to this hospital. So let me give you a little backstory in, as far as this layman's terms of what I understand about Steward. Steward Medical Services Incorporated is an all-encompassing company based out of Dallas, Texas. And when it comes to their health care services, they're for profit. What that means is they're literally looking to turn a profit. And because of that, they run differently. And regs aren't the same as they are at other hospitals that are just nonprofit. They're there, in theory, to provide services and care for people. So one of the downsides of the hospital I picked is it's probably the second largest hospital in that region, but the largest hospital had a fire a year ago and it hasn't fully opened yet. By the time this recording comes out, it may be just about to fully open again. So all of the hospitals of the region around where that is have had to pick up the slack for that hospital. That hospital, for example, has a mental health wing. So that means that people with mental health needs or mental health crises have to go elsewhere or have to get put elsewhere. That also means that emergency rooms are overtaxed. Let's be honest, overtaxed even more than they already are. So I go to this hospital. They bring me in. They just give me the info, and then they put me in my room. My room, by the way, was in the hallway right behind the receptionist desk. And it basically had like a Velcroed sticker on the wall, which gave my room number in case anyone was trying to get to me, which I'll get to in a second as well. I was right behind the entrance to the emergency room. So what I mean by that is every single time that door opened in the middle of the winter, I got a very, very brisk gust of cold air. As I had a brisk gust of cold air, I'm very close. I can hear why people are being brought in, but I'm focused on myself and trying to be discreet. And I'm dealing with multiple people in the triage that are just, they're dealing with multiple people too. And I'm also in an area where there are people that are being kept there who have mental health concerns as well. So there's a ton going on and I'm freezing. And, but to their credit, they were very nice and they had like this station with warm blankets and they kept bringing them by every like couple minutes. And they were really nice. I want to be fair. I don't want to just like bash on them. I don't. I want to just tell you kind of the overall experience. So that was my first experience. Essentially, while I was there, they did an EKG. So they hooked me up with all these lancets all over my body. They just wanted to see if my heart was going well, if the circulation of my blood was going well. They then gave me an X-ray of my shoulders from like my high upper chest and my head. And they gave me a CAT scan of my neck and my head. And I was in there for an hour and 45 minutes and was discharged. And that was pretty quick. And they just said, you have muscle soreness. They gave me some muscle relaxers, which I took for maybe a couple days just to go to sleep. Because that's really the only thing I noticed was that they really just wanted to make me pass out. So I dealt with the pain. If I had to put it on a scale of 1 to 10, my pain was probably, I don't know, a 4 at worst. So it was really just when I was trying to go to sleep anyway, because I wasn't taking anything during the day. And I didn't use it all. And I basically what I did is I disposed of it the way that I was trained when I worked day to day in direct care services and human services. And that is you just get some water and some dish detergent and you put the meds in there and they dissolve. And then I threw them away. In my younger days, I probably would have pawned them off to somebody in my life who probably would be like, hey, I'll give you like $20 for those. Like, okay, here you go. Maybe even in my different days too, like I would have done it for like less money and some cigarettes, but hey, I digress. So I'm in this hospital. I had contacted my work. I had contacted my wife. I had contacted my mom, and my mom ended up meeting my wife there, and they were giving a hard time about people going in to see people in the ER for a couple reasons. Flu season, people act, especially in hospitals, like COVID is still a thing. And I think I'm okay with them doing that. That's fine. But my mom was telling me that when she got in there, there was nobody in there. And then all of a sudden, it just was like the late morning rush came. And she was like, well, I'm out. And so she bounced. So it was just my wife. And they were still giving my wife a little bit of a hard time to get back there. They eventually let her back there. So she was hanging out with me for a little bit of it, mostly the end of it, when I got discharged. One thing that happened while I was waiting for my wife to come back was that I saw a couple individuals who were clearly there for like 72-hour evaluations, or they were just there because they were having a hard time. And they were wandering around, and there were multiple reception areas. And they were near one where there was like a glass. Not all of the receptionists had like plexiglass around their stations. The first one you go to at this hospital did not have plexiglass. So, well, it did. It had, but it didn't have it like what I'm talking about. When I saw this individual talking way down the hallway to these other receptionists, like it almost looked like they were fully enclosed in desks and in plexiglass. Whereas when I came in, there were certain areas where they were just almost like people probably hate me for this, but it's like going to a salad bar. Going to a restaurant that has a salad bar and just basically has that plexiglass as a sneeze blocker. It was essentially like that for where I was checked in. But anyway, I'm in this bed and I'm facing the direction of the individual. And he is animated and he is yelling. And I was trying not to, but I was more paying attention to him, not what he was saying. And I just remember the one thing I could pick up on was he did mention at one point that somebody was accusing him of self-injurious behavior. And then he very literally demonstrated to them what his definition of self-injurious behavior would be. And that was a little interesting. And then he went back into the room he was in. And then somebody else, so I could tell, who was likely in there for similar things, also popped their head out, watched this individual, smiled, shook their head, They actually, we made eye contact at one point, and they were just like, shrugged their shoulders, like, and then they went back in. And so you have people who are in medical emergencies, like, I don't know, name it, heart attacks, suspected strokes, mental health, and they're all in this area, and they're all kind of doing their different thing, and this is a hospital that is, to say they're overloaded is an understatement. They are. They're overloaded, and they're not, they don't have the staff to fully meet the need that there is for them right now. And so, and to be also, to be fair, like I was one of maybe, they had probably 7 or 8 beds that were like all in a line, single file in that hallway. And maybe there was another one person in that. So I was, it was me and workers. And this individual I'm talking about was probably like 40, 50 feet away from me. Plenty of staff between them. But the one thing I did want to talk about that really I found appalling, and I just really wanted to, was that there was an individual, and I don't know if he was in there for care for himself or if he was seeing somebody, and all I know is that he did not speak English, and if he did, he did not speak a lot of English. And he was trying to communicate with them that he was ordering an Uber to pick him up, and he was asking them if it was okay to have the Uber come to the emergency room entrance or if they had to go to a different entrance. And he was trying his best to use Google Translate. He was asking if anybody spoke Spanish. And I don't know a lot of Spanish, but I could pick up what he was trying to ask for. And I could tell he was obviously nervous and he was a little uncomfortable. And there were certain people that worked at that hospital that did nothing to help him. In fact, there was one person who, while interacting with me, was very nice and pleasant. But just the fact that this is how I interpreted this situation. The fact that he came in and was looking for help, and obviously there was a language barrier. And when you respond with a word in English, a phrase in Spanish, and then ended in a sentence in French, I find that about as appalling. And then joking about it, like, oh, oopsie. Well, I figured one of those languages would work. Like, oh, come on. What the fuck? You know, I get if we're tired, we're burnt out, we're overpopulated and understaffed and all that. But, like, there's still some decency. And it wasn't like he was asking for anything unreasonable. He was just saying, I'm getting a rideshare to come pick me up. Is this area okay to get picked up in? That's not really that much of an ask if you want my opinion on it. So, let's see. So, yeah, I was in and out pretty quick. They finally let my wife back there. Essentially, out in reception, there's somebody that you talk to. You tell them kind of the information. Like, I relayed the information to my wife. This is where I am. This is where you can find me. She relayed that to them. And then there's somebody else you have to talk to. They have to bring in. And they will give you the info. They'll tell you when you can come in. And that person, they talked to her like, oh, it'll be like 5 minutes. And they disappeared for about 45 minutes to an hour. And they're probably busy too. I want to be fair. They're probably busy too. But then they came back and they let her back. And they basically said, and by that time my mom had left because she was more focused on all the germs that people probably had. So she didn't want to be around people. And she ended up getting sick. And she blames the ER of this hospital, like the waiting room. But they said they would only let them back one at a time. So that was another kind of reason my mom was like, I'll just go. It's fine. It's fine, Bob. Are you good? Yes, I'm good. And so my wife came to pick me up. And I realized at that point, because someone had asked me for my ID, and I realized that the ambulance and the EMS workers had me out of there so fast that the state trooper I had given my license to when he asked for it still had my license. So then I had to call. Well, first I had to Google search. I had to look up different state police barracks because I was like, am I going to sit here and have to like call all these barracks? So I figured out the Milton barracks is the closest and they were the one who responded. And so I called them and they were like, are you sure it was us? And I said, I believe so because of where it was. And they were like, okay. They said, could you tell us your name? Could you give us your ID number on your license? And I did. And they were like, all right, yeah. And they said, oh, it's here. You can come in. You know, we'll be here. We'll be readily available. And I went, okay, thank you. And then so we had to drive from this area, which I guess in hindsight, I mean, maybe I should have gone to that other hospital because it's in the same town. And it probably would have been better because now we had to drive up the highway. And I was like, oh, look, honey, that's where I my car was. And they had already towed it, which is fine. And I'm like, well, that's where it happened. And she was kind of asking me the stories and kind of she just wanted to see, like, well, what happened? What was going on? And I told her and she was like, OK. And she had her own thoughts about it. And then we drove to Milton. We got those. And then I appreciated it. She took me out for breakfast. Even it was like lunchtime, but I appreciate it. She took me out for breakfast. And I started, that's when my adrenaline started winding down and I really started to feel sore from my seatbelt. So I felt sore up here on my collarbone. I felt sore down here, right, the bottom of my pectoral muscles. And my back was tight a little bit. But other than that, I was fine. I was relatively fine. Emotionally and mentally, I was a little shaken up and I was more like, oh, motherfucker, now I have to get a new car. I wasn't financially ready for that. And I say that just because of, other reasons, but most importantly, just where we're at with even used car prices. I mean, it still is what it is. So I waited until, so this was President's Day weekend. It happened on the Friday before President's Day weekend. And essentially what happened is I did not find out where my car was until President's Day, Monday. A holiday. And they had towed it to this yard in Dedham, which was pretty far away. And my insurance company, because I immediately put in the claim and gave them the police report. I didn't ask for the report itself. I gave them the ID number so they could reach out to the state police for it. And they said, oh, yeah, well, just as a reminder, your insurance does not cover us. We're not covering your tow yard. So you might want to get that out of there because you're paying every day for it. And I was like, oh, son of a. Mm. And the reason I have like that little insurance on my car, because it was a 14-year-old car with 265,000 miles on it. I mean, it was a car that was pretty much at the end of the road anyway. I really wanted to get that car to 300,000 miles. It just, hey, didn't happen. So I go to this yard, and I come to find out that they own multiple yards, so that my car was not there. My car was at another yard, and I had to go to that other yard to figure out where it was. That yard was shared with like an auto sailing company and then a salon. It was a very unique setup. I'll give them that. But then they said, so right now you're on the hook if you got this car taken care of and somebody comes and takes it away. They're like, we're assuming this is totaled. I was like, it's a loss. Yes, it is. Okay. And I asked them, do you salvage cars? And they said, oh, no, we don't. And I said, of course you don't. Yes. So they gave me the name of a few, salvage yards. And I went to one that was, in Brockton, and they were very helpful. They were very nice. They basically said, yep, this is what we'll offer you for your car. Just meet us there tomorrow. We'll get it. And so I let the tow company know, and they just said, cut me the price. And I went, and they said, if there's a tow truck driver there, you can pay the tow truck driver, and it will be square. So when you go there, the tow company will take it. You can just sign them over your title, and you're good. We're all square. So I go to use, a debit card, and he was like, look at me, fella. I'm in a truck. I'm on a satellite. I got to accept cash only. So I call the office. They also reiterate, we only accept cash. And I was like, okay. So I go to the nearest ATM, which was at a hotel down the street, and I withdrew my maximum. My maximum is $400 a day. So I did that, and I was just talking to them about I'm not trying to be difficult, but this is the most I can get. And I think, honestly, it was like $402 or $403 they were going to charge me. And they just said, yeah, it's fine. It's you're good. And I was like, thank you. I appreciate that. So they took my money, and the next day I met the salvage yard there. They literally signed them over the title. They handed me an envelope of cash. I jokingly said in my head, if someone was just driving by, they'd get it. It's a tow truck, but they'd be like, nothing shady at all about this. And then that was it. And my next goal was literally to get a car. And so I said, I am fine with getting, I had a Honda Civic. And I said, I'm fine with getting another Honda Civic, and I'm even fine with it being older. I don't need it to be brand spanking new. Yes, I would love to have bells and whistles like a push button for Bluetooth on my steering wheel, the car to already have Bluetooth, whatever. It's fine at this point. So I found a car that was the exact same year as mine. It was a 2010 Honda Civic. It was owned by one person. They bought it from a dealership brand spanking new. They owned it up until the summer of 2023, and this person had been trying to sell it, and they basically put it on their son. They said, yeah, it was at our other yard, and my son is in charge of that yard, but my son decided to go to the beach instead of actually do the job I was paying him for. And I laughed, but yeah, it was under Kelley Blue Book value. It had 100,000 less miles than my car, essentially. And when I got in it and I drove it, I mean, it drove like a car that felt like it had 100,000 less miles than it actually did. And I was like, this is a good deal. So I kind of gathered up money, talked about it with my wife. She, you know, we said, okay, we'll take from this account too. I took some from my personal accounts and went and purchased that. So within 1 week, I had had a car totaled. I had paid to get, I found out where it was. I had paid for the salvage. I dealt with the hospital and all that nonsense. Gotten the insurance claim going. And then gotten a quote-unquote new car. And I'm actually pretty happy with this car. My car was starting to feel like a car that had like almost 270,000 miles on it. And this one feels very tight, a lot tighter and all that. And I went out and I bought one of those little things you can buy to make your car if your car does not have Bluetooth. Cost me $25. It came with something so I could stick it kind of on my dash so it's cool. It's not in the way. Plug it into the auxiliary. One thing that had happened is that my charger in my old car had stopped working, so I carried around like a brick, one of those charging bricks. So I don't have to do that right now. This one still works. Knocking on wood right there. And so I can charge my phone in my car. I got one of these nifty little holders where you can put it in the CD player. And so it's right at your eye light. That stuff is great. But yeah, that is essentially what's been going on for me over the last month. There's been more like tumultuous kind of stuff and turnover at work because that's the nature of the field, human services. Turnover is a given. So we've been dealing with that. We're short-staffed, even as people in my department. And, I mean, my job is essentially to go train and retrain certain staff, and I am still traveling the state. So I was happy to get a new car so I could do that. But, yeah, that takes a toll, and it takes me away from this, especially when Remy and I were talking about switching up our recording day from Saturdays or Sundays to Tuesdays or Wednesdays. And so in the meantime, I'm going to start doing like what Remy said, start game planning, start kind of looking at some things that we were going to discuss and see if we can get together, but also things that are more like just about things going on with me or going on with people our age. But that's, I wanted to come on and give you that heads up that that is what I was dealing with. Going back to the Steward hospitals. Right after I had had my my holiday with them, the news came out that the governor of Massachusetts had essentially told the Steward healthcare system, because I believe they own 9 hospitals in Massachusetts. They basically said they're going to evict them and that they're over $50 million in back rent and between the 9 hospitals. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. Well, oh, fuck. That's all I got about that. Like, fuck. All right. So I also haven't gotten any, knocking on wood again, I haven't gotten any bills or anything from that. And I don't know if it's because when I was there, I had already given all my car insurance info and given my health insurance info so that if the bills come in, they go wherever and then those two entities figure it out. And I don't know if that's what's going on right now. And then they'll just give me the difference, which will either be my deductible for my health insurance or a copay, depending on how it shakes out. Because this is, without getting into all of those specifics, they'll figure it out. I was also trying to explain that to the other driver very discreetly, because he was from a state that is Massachusetts is a no-fault state. And if you want a very, very simplistic, and it's not going to do it justice, description of what that means is if two people get in an accident, initially right off the bat, it doesn't matter who's at fault. Both insurance companies cover the expenses for the people that are insured. And then they get together, they figure out faults, and they figure out, like, who owes what. It's a way to cut down on lawsuits. That's what I've read about. It's a way to cut down on just slowing the process down. But I don't know. When I was at the hospital, I did give them my health insurance information. They took it. They had asked me for my car insurance info, and I believe I did my best to give that to them. And then the only thing I've gotten from my car insurance was more like releases that they can review my medical histories, which everybody has to do for anything related to anybody's health insurance stuff that's covered under HIPAA law. But then other than that, I mean, yeah, I've just been kind of low key, just kind of trying to build my savings up after unseen expense or expenses, considering I had to pay for the tow yard and everything. But I guess I can give you some highlights or some things that I definitely know Remy and I have wanted to kind of touch upon. So there is one film that he is, and if you see me pulling my phone out, it's because I'm looking up one of the last conversations I had with him where he asked me to basically review this this movie. And it was a movie that's on Amazon Prime. And so I did, actually. I looked at it, and I was like, huh, look at that. Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's a movie called Saltburn. Came out a couple years ago. But, yeah, that's one thing that he wanted to. So when he does come on, that will be a Remy-exclusive episode where he takes the lead on that, and I will just kind of be like, hey, buddies, what's going on? Some other things that I had pitched to him is that I had noticed that there has been an uptick, mostly on Netflix, but then something else came out on our treatment of children. And I mean that beyond the thing that's very topical now, the Quiet on the Set, the docuseries from Nickelodeon. I noticed specifically Netflix has done a lot of documentaries about like reform schools that teenagers were sent to in the 90s and early 2000s. And there are it's to the point where there are individual ones on these individual schools or these individual conglomerates and just how deplorable they are. And one thing I wanted to do with Rem is I wanted to tie in something that we did, because we have danced around that we worked at a place that technically is a reform school, but we try to be discreet about it. So I wanted to approach him and just be like, let's not be discreet about it. Let's actually talk about it. And talk about kind of our experiences and then relate it to these things that we have seen. Not so much the Nickelodeon one. The Nickelodeon one is what it is. And I look at that because there's things about that that tie into stuff that we did for our work that sadly we could also tie into experiences that we witnessed through other coworkers. But again, digressing a lot there. But yeah, that's a good summary of what's been going on with us, with me, kind of my trials and tribulations over the last 3 months. And the fact that, much like people our age, we're resourceful. We look at things with sarcasm, but with a smile. We try to make it into a joke because, let's be honest, fake laugh hiding real pain, or I would even say real laugh hiding real pain in my case. I have slowly started to tell people about it. I think the funniest thing was I went to a concert recently, a friend of mine said, hey, if I asked anybody else in our friend group, nobody would go to this show. Do you want to come to this show with me? And I said, what is it? And he said, it's Gary Numan, and he is on tour with Ministry. If you don't know Gary Numan, he wrote the song Cars, you know, here in my car, I feel safest of all. And then he's been kind of on the fringe. I mean, that was obviously his biggest hit, but he's been on the fringe. He did team up with Ministry in like the late 90s, early 2000s, and they did music together. And so naturally they go on tour. But yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time. And I actually picked him up. I picked my friend up and he gets in my car. And my old car was gray, silverish, and this one is blue. And he was just like, you didn't paint your car, did you? And I said, no. And so I told him the story, and he was like, oh, shit. And yeah. But, yep, so that's kind of what we'll have cooking. I will still try to do as Remy has requested while we are trying to get things away. I will still try to reach out to people to get to meet me here at the Epicenter where we record. Because some people do reach out and they say, come bring your stuff to me. And I go, no. At least now I go, no, that is a big undertaking. If I could do a 360 and you could kind of see what how much stuff we actually got going on here, you would see why that is like a, nah, you could, I can see why Bob doesn't really want to do that. And he sometimes says, fuck that. But yeah, I will reach out to some people. I'll see how many virtual people I can get. Think I should have decent service, and I'll probably just use my phone to do all that because my laptop works for shit here. Because for whatever reason, either the internet system or my laptop itself doesn't like to play nice with the with one another, and I just want to slap the shit out of them. But on that note, welcome back, everybody. We'll try to get this thing back up and running again, and that's what's been going on with us. And I also went away from the socials a little bit related to the show. The Facebook page and the Twitter feed and the Twitter page a little bit, but I'll update those as well. And I've noticed numbers fluctuating of people liking and following, and I do try to go on there. I should do it more. Sorry about that, but I really viewed those as extra avenues to really get the podcast out there and give people other avenues to interact with us. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But again, thank you for everyone who still is just sporadically checking in and listening to things we do. And just be on the lookout for whatever we have next. And until that next time, which hopefully will not be very, very long, take care, everybody. See you.